The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting Monday for us because we have mixed emotions today, right? We are disappointed we lost to the Saints. We are happy that Georgia Tech beat a top five ranked Miami team. We are not happy that the Dogs lost on the road to Ole Miss, but we are very happy that Atlanta United has moved on in the MLS playoffs.
Right. They have knocked out Miami!
ATL running Miami. Yeah, when they scored that goal, you see Brad gets chucked into the net by him and Messi were going for the ball, and then the dude comes flying in and throws. Brad's like, whoa, he's in the back. No red card, no yellow card. I don't know, man.
Anyway, I thought he was going to swing on cuz.
Hey, well, next time we'll talk to Brad, hopefully, if not this week, they get Orlando next. But just a hell of a story, man. Everybody in the soccer world is talking about that, Messi and company. And the rest of the world is trying to understand the concept of playoffs, apparently.
It's so funny because now they're saying the MLS will do away with this three-game format after Atlanta United upsets Miami. Yeah, yeah. Let's not fool ourselves. Here's the deal, because we've been the hotness.
Right.
In 18, we were the hotness, okay? And everybody was like, man, I got to see this team, and they're scoring all these goals. The hotness this year was Miami, and they had the biggest star in the world come to the United States to play in this league. Do not think for one second that the league was hoping, okay? And this is why these games aren't fixed for everybody who thinks they are. Right. The league was hoping that Miami would, Mike, cruise through and get to the MLS Cup, and it would be a great story, and they'd have great ratings and numbers because they had the biggest star in the world. And we just did them a favor. Get out of here. We just disappointed them in the fact that we were able to dispose of Miami. But, guys, they wanted them in this thing.
Big time. I mean, imagine anybody from the West Coast, L.A. preferably against Miami. That's what they were shooting for. And sorry, wrong answer, Hans. So now we'll see what they can do against Orlando City.
All right, coming up, we are going to talk to our man Connor Riley in the 4 o'clock hour. I know a lot of dog fans are saying, "Okay, where does this leave us? Where are we going with this?" Well, first of all, went out. That's number one. Okay, because if you don't, then the question gets answered for you. So went out, and then see where the chips fall. That's what the goal is now for Georgia, which we haven't been in this place. This team has either been undefeated, one loss, and usually that happens in the SEC championship game, or it's happened in the national championship game. That's where they've been living. So to have two losses right now, Mike, and we're not even to Thanksgiving, this doesn't feel right.
And now because you've got that second loss, your head-to-head over the Texas Longhorns goes out the window because Texas only has one conference loss. So as Tennessee sits there at number one, the Aggies are number two, and then the Longhorns come in at number three. Then Georgia sits four. Old Miss sits at number five right now as far as the rankings. Again, no more, you know, as you guys know, no more divisions, just, you know, basically simply going one through whatever it is now, 18 and 19. I lost track. But anyway, it's a shame now for Georgia because that scenario that you and I were chatting about, now the bye seems to maybe go out the window unless you could find a way to get back in to that SEC championship game. And then, Carl, you got maybe a chance to get a game at uncharted territory.
Correct.
A playoff game at Sanford Stadium in December.
Turtle, while we're talking about this, can I hear Kirby? Because Mike and I were saying that Lane Kiffin needed this badly.
He'd never had a win like this in his career. There's nothing on his resume that comes close.
Top five win, when you talk about a team that's you know, where Georgia was, and coming into this game, this gives him the credibility he needed, Mike, to say, hey, I can win big games. I just want to play Kirby talking about giving Lane Kiffin credit. And Kirby, listen to the end of this, because he obviously watched all this tape. He feels like, Mike, they probably should be undefeated with the way that they lost games so far this year. This is Kirby Smart talking about Ole Miss.
Well, first off, a lot of credit to Ole Miss. Great atmosphere. They played a really good game. I thought Lane had his team ready to play. We obviously struggled in a lot of areas. We had miscues, mistakes, penalties, things that are really hard to overcome, especially when you play a really good football team, and they are. I told our team coming into this week, I felt like they were probably the most talented team that we had played, counting both sides of the ball and special teams. They have elite specialists, and they have really good players on defense and the skill positions on offense. So give their quarterback credit. He made a lot of really good throws, and their defense affected us with the pass rush. So a lot of credit goes to Lane and his staff. Look, they really should be undefeated.
Kiffin, that's a hell of a compliment.
And Lane Kiffin's talked about it. You know, the Kentucky game, you know, you talked about the physicality of that one. You know, losing to LSU, that's a game that could have gone either way. But this was one that was kind of a measuring stick. We talked all last week, a measuring stick for the Ole Miss boosters, for the program. You know, and I thought the biggest moment of the game was after this. I mean, talk about a body blow. When Jackson Dart gets knocked out, you get the score. And then Austin Simmons takes you right down the field, and you're Ole Miss, and you're tied.
You're a Georgia fan going, this is perfect. Here comes the backup.
Right.
And by the way, that kid's coming back. The Simmons kid you saw.
Right.
He's going to be a guy that comes back next year. Mike, they may be all right moving forward. Here's the deal. You're right. That moment was like, oh, we're about to take control of this game. What do you mean they're driving down the field and about to score?
And then your next two possessions were 2-3 and outs, and then the 9-play drive and a punt.
Lane Kiffin going into that game was 1-11 versus top five opponents. His last win against a top five opponent was 2011 when he was the head coach of USC.
Mm.
Many of you don't even remember he was at USC.
Yeah.
It was number four Oregon. That's the last time it happened for him as a head coach. He needed it. They got it. We'll talk about what it means for the Dogs moving forward. But, Kirby, I thought that compliment was – it says a lot about what he's seeing with that football team. He knows championship teams. He thinks they're pretty damn good. More on that coming up with Connor Riley right now. Let's get to an NFL Blitz! NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Did the Falcons really leave the door open to the NFC South? Stay tuned. Mike, Jared Goff throws five interceptions. They didn't win, did they?
Yeah, they didn't cover the 3.5. I'm an 0-3, by the way. I'm going to be perilously close to now being eliminated from the competition of giving picks.
You had that game?
At 3.5, yeah. And again, I knew they weren't going to cover. And then to be down 10 late, and it looked like they were just dead in the water, they had to punt in one situation. It was like 4th and 6, and Campbell made the right call. But that's just a testament to, you know, that team's, I mean, ability to make plays and be clutch. That's why everyone's in love with them right now, to be the team to beat and maybe beat the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
It was that was a Sunday night game, and it was if you didn't stay up, right? I mean, because maybe you were exhausted watching the Falcons and going, man, we should have won that game. There were some really interesting games yesterday. That game turned out to be crazy.
13 unanswered points in the fourth quarter over the Texans for the Lions on the road.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it was just so unexpected the way it played out. Meanwhile, what else happened around the National Football League? Well, we know the Cowboys aren't any good. We told you that when they came here. The Eagles embarrassed them at home. Now they're talking about putting curtains in the stadium so guys can see the football after CeeDee Lamb, dropped one, and then was asked after the game, did the sun affect you? Yeah, we should put curtains in.
How long has he been playing there? He's had some time in November, right, at that stadium before.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this whole thing is just I mean, I don't know what the bigger train wreck is, the Jets or the Cowboys. Kind of a push. But that Dallas game, and if that was like our if you don't have DirecTV or the Sunday Ticket, I should say, or YouTube, that was the game you were stuck with yesterday afternoon. And it was an absolute beatdown. Not even close.
No, not at all. Speaking of not being close, you just mentioned the Jets. Did anybody see that coming? The Arizona Cardinals. Chris is laughing in there. The Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray beat the snot out of the Jets. Couldn't do anything, Mike.
No, and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if you didn't see it, sacked 3 times, 1 sack in the red zone where it's like, dude, what do you think you're doing here? You can't pat the baby for like 5 minutes, and they get him on the ground. Kyler Murray was efficient, 22 of 24. and they've rushed for 147 yards. Connor, I don't know if he was dinged up, but it was Trey Benson was the lead dog for the Cardinals. Marvin Harrison got in the end zone, and that's something that's been a little rare this year for him in his rookie season.
Marvin Harrison Jr. hauls it in with his right arm. Just a gorgeous drop in the bucket by Murray.
It was a pretty throw.
The best Jets receiver catch was actually the former Jet in Wilson for the Steelers. Russell Wilson, right? Have I got it right? Mike Williams, I said Wilson. Mike Williams had a score. We'll get to that game in a second. But, dude, the Jets are completely toast. And now the Cardinals, by the way, in the NFC, if there's, like, rankings and where we'd be seated, we would be the third seed of the playoffs start today. Arizona would be the fourth seed.
I know.
They're in the mix. By the way, somebody tell me that whole Davante Adams trade. What's that done?
Ugh.
Did he score yesterday? Chris, you're a Jets guy. Did he score?
He actually dropped a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, really?
6 for 31 with a drop in the end zone.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Everybody, Davante Adams. The guy the Jets traded, which gets us to this game Mike wants to talk about, Mike Williams scored the game-winning touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just got off the Jet.
Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw! What a catch!
Now, this one came down to the wire and a video review. If you didn't see it, they on the fourth down play, my initial thought was Zach Ertz got it. But they literally went back and they looked at it like 17,000 times, and they don't believe he got there. I thought he had it. But there's really no way, and the ruling where they marked him down, they said he was short by about an inch. So the Steelers go on to win, and it was a playoff type atmosphere in D.C. with all the Steeler fans and terrible towels. A Steeler home game playoff game, but it was a really electric atmosphere in D.C.
It was, man. And I thought Jayden Daniels was going to lead them to a field goal to win that game. I mean, it's a one-point game. The 28-27 was the final score. They are moving down the field to go get a field goal and maybe win this game. Redskins are for real. If you are thinking they're not, they are legit. They are going to be a problem, Mike, and a hard out. Steelers, though, have solidified themselves now as a real Super Bowl contender with the way that they're finding ways to win, and their quarterback plays has been much better. Just moving the ball down the field. We're talking about vertical passing. Justin was throwing this thing around, but they weren't throwing the ball like that. That ball to Mike Williams, if you didn't see that ball, over his shoulder, right. Defenders behind, and literally Russ drops it right there in his breadbasket, and he catches the ball. It was a crazy, crazy game yesterday.
Now, the other thing, everybody keeps talking about the Chiefs, and some talking heads won't give them respect. Like, it doesn't matter how, you know, it's a win. They're undefeated. Everyone's now saying, somebody wake up the 72 Dolphins, because here we go. The way they're playing, they are going to trip up at some point. It doesn't matter as long as everybody's healthy for the Super Bowl. But they just, you remember the definition of grinding. The Chiefs were stymied. This is something that worries me about our matchup with the Broncos. They held the Chiefs to 57 yards rushing. Granted, we got more explosive guys than what they have with Kareem Hunt at this stage. But they did throw for 266. 16-14, the Chiefs have to block a field goal attempt at the end to seal the deal.
I agree with you. I don't know where they slip up, but I feel like it's going to happen. I mean... To be honest with you, I kind of thought it was this weekend.
Right.
And they were able to find a way to get it done. Here's the deal with our Falcons. Did they leave the door open to the NFC South? It's a resounding no. We are 4-1 in the division. Tampa's 1-2. New Orleans is now 2-3. And Carolina's 1-2 after getting a win over in Munich. We are not going to lose this division.
Now, the Bucs really, I mean, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, you got to be just saying, what the hell if we just come right into a buzzsaw with the schedule? Four-game losing streak. They probably should have gone for two against the Chiefs. They had ample opportunity to come back against us in Tampa. And then the 49ers, Murphy's Law, they get back home and they get Christian McCaffrey coming back for the 49ers who won.
Yeah, the schedule gods didn't help them, but neither did the injury gods, right? Because those injuries happened right before our game, Mike, and then it's been all downhill. But if you feel like yesterday was like, oh, it opens up the door, relax. Now, we still need to win our games and as many as possible, specifically in the NFC, to Mike's point about the Cardinals, if you're looking at that, or even the Lions or the Eagles. We still want to be in a great spot with the seeding. Connor Riley coming up. Let's hand out some game balls and no balls. Let's start first with our kicker, Younghoe Koo. No balls.
No balls.
Not one, not two, three missed field goals?
No balls.
Yeah, he's been leaky. He was leaky at times last year, and maybe you guys didn't notice it. He is now, if you look at the guys who have at least 15 attempts in this league right now, he is at the bottom. I mean, by any metric, he is having a terrible year. He's having his worst year since he's been named a starting kicker for this team. And you just hope that he – Carl, it's so mental. You just hope that he finds his way out of it, right?
You hope.
I guess.
You hope.
I mean, the worst-case scenario, though, is you bring in, as you said, somebody – guys, we've got to challenge him. All right. Well, you bring in some challenging guys who are what? Washed up bums have been cut from other teams. So now you're going to bring in some 38-year-old has been. One guy said, go get Rodrigo Blankenship.
Without the glasses.
Are you high?
No balls.
I mean, that's the most, it's so unreliable. You can't even begin to go down that road. So yeah, you look at it. Now, I will say this, Justin Tucker is having a bad year by his standards. So there are some elite kickers in this league. But right now, when you look at the percentages, at 70.8, he is like literally the 32nd worst kicker. There's been more than 32 kickers out there, Carl, because some have come and gone and had injuries.
Yeah,
it's not good. Young Weku, no balls.
No balls.
Come on, bro. You're kicking indoors. Come on, bro.
Now, one was blocked. That's special teams. Now, Coach Rob was raving about his special teams, but, you know, got to protect. But, yeah, he's just having an awful year, and the distance that is killing him is the 40 to 49. The bar has been raised for kickers. Everybody's hitting these monster shots now. But now where he's struggling this year, he's 3 of 6 from 40 to 49 yards.
All right, we got to move on. But before we do, Young Weku, no balls. No balls.
No balls.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on.
He hasn't been as good since somebody stole his car with his magic shoes in it.
Come on, man. Leave that alone. He never got his kicks back. That was just dirty.
That's just wrong.
That's dirty.
I know, but Avalon, too, of all places. Not right.
And by the way, I was going to say to your point about bringing another kicker in. Here's the
kick from Koo is no good. It got blocked.
Yeah, that was the blocked one. I'm not going to blame him for that one. I'm blaming you for the one that hit off the goalpost. Mike.
Because that's an overcorrection for going left on the other one.
Correct. Thinking too much.
No balls.
All right, I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. Here's the deal, though. I was going to say the other part about bringing a kicker in, and I said, I'm fine with competition. If he's too comfortable or whatever, like, fine. But you don't know what these guys do under the bright lights.
Right.
They may be at Flowery kicking 50-yard field goals with nobody watching, Mike. We're up there every week. That's a different element than when you got 60,000 or 80,000 in the stands, and we need you to knock this through.
But it is what it's the 4-foot putt that Rory misses. It's the free throws at the line. It's the most mental aspect of the NFL game. And remember, his career started in San Diego, by not being able to get the job done. Comes to us, gets into that groove. We've been really blessed for the most part. We've had Matt Bryan here.
We had
Morton Anderson, who's in the Hall of Fame. But man. It's just, it drives you crazy. It drives you crazy in the college game. But to go out and now bring in some bum, because that's what they are now, to challenge him.
It's true.
You just got to hope he course corrects. That's all you can do.
And it hit the right upright.
Yeah, that's the one. Mike, did I tell you, speaking of yesterday, that Young Weku gets no balls?
No balls.
9 points left on the board.
Yeah, I'm arguing with this guy on Twitter. I go, it came down to field goals. No, not the end of the freaking game, but there was 9 points we left. Now, one is blocked. He misses kicks he normally makes.
He missed three.
If he makes the two field goals, we win the game. I'm sorry, I can't do the math for you, sir, but 6 equals more than three. Three is to tie it. 6 would have been to win it had those kicks gone through. And the Falcons were completely stymieing the Saints. Now, granted, Alvin Kamara got loose, and he just friggin' dropped it, and that would have sealed the game for the Saints.
But we
were still alive.
All right.
And it hit the right upright.
You're moving on. Cool. We support you. We're behind you.
It's tough love.
It's tough love. Put that game behind you, and let's move forward. Now, we got to give another no balls, Mike. Brian Daboll, Giants have the worst record in the NFL. They're playing, I guess, for the number one pick. Mm. I think it's going to be Shedeur Sanders. That's where I'm at right now. I don't think it's going to be Beck. I don't think it's going to be Dylan Gabriel up there. I think it's Shedeur Sanders. But here's what he said about the Giants having the worst record. No balls.
No balls.
I'd say there's certain things we're doing better. The record isn't what it needs to be. But we'll go back. We'll evaluate. We'll do the things we need to do to finish up strong second half of the season.
Yeah, 2-8. They lose to Carolina. And our boy from up at in Buford, he hit me up yesterday. You know, the Cam lookalike.
Yeah, the poor guy makes his kid wear a Carolina Panthers jersey.
Yeah, he said, y'all going to give me a shout-out tomorrow? Well, we will, but no name. But here's the deal. He hits me up, and he's like, did you see my boy today? And I'm like, who, Bryce Young?
Well, you know what? There was even rumors they were taking phone calls about trading him at the deadline. maybe this builds some confidence, you know, for Canales and company.
I don't want to see them give up on the kid.
Look, I thought he was going to be the guy. I thought, but you don't consider him. He's not a dual threat guy. You want to compare him to somebody? Comp him to Drew Brees because he's super accurate in college. He was trying to trust himself a little bit more. They talked about it on the broadcast. The Giants, if you didn't see it, the Giants rally, force overtime, and their rookie running back fumbles it.
Get on
the first series.
The looks on everybody's faces.
It is kind of cool.
No balls.
I mean, and he's crying. He's got a towel over his head. Meanwhile, the German fans are singing, "Sweet Caroline, ba ba ba." They love their football in Munich.
It was brutal. Hey, let's give a game ball while we're handing them out, guys. Speaking of field goal kickers, this is how you win a game. Cool.
Game balls.
Jake Moody, 44 yards, 49ers, game on the line, and he puts it through. Now, Koo's won a lot of games. Listen, we're piling on. But the fact of the matter is, that's why this one hurts a little bit more, because these were gimmies. These are field goals. If we're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we're screaming, Koo, because we know the game's over. We've seen it happen time and time again. Jake Moody for the 49ers.
Saber Pepper will snap to Mitch Wisnowski, number four. We'll try to make it here. Good snap. Jake has it away. Jake has the distance. And Jake Moody is good! Money! Moody!
23-20. That was the final score.
Good!
Yeah. Big kick. All right, couple more game balls coming up, man. We've got a lot more to dive into here. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Connor Riley's going to join us at 4 o'clock. And, of course, Coach's Show tonight at 6 on a Monday. Let's give a game ball, if we can, and we should, to what happened yesterday with the game with the Lions. Mike mentioned it, the comeback. They win 26-23. I'm going to let you hear Jared Goff and Dan Campbell. Lions get a game ball for this comeback.
Game balls.
From 52 yards out to send the Lions home with a victory. There's the snap, spot, kick away. It is up and it is good. He got it. We're going to fly home on the wings of Jake Banks. Oh, baby. Good from 58. Good from 52. And that's good enough for a victory for the Detroit Lions.
I didn't feel like I was playing all that bad. I was seeing things well. Yeah, ultimately, I got to take care of the ball, but they were making some good plays, and I think ultimately, like, I never lost confidence because I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do on most of those plays, and the guys stuck with me on offense, and I was telling them, hey, man, I'm good, just hang in there, and I'm good, I'm gonna have this thing figured out, and they stuck with me.
I just felt good about it. I just felt like he was gonna make it. And he did. He stepped up and nailed it. That was great. His confidence is growing.
It was a hell of a comeback. 13 unanswered points, as we mentioned. The first interception was just tipped at the line of scrimmage by one of the defensive linemen. It was straight up in the air. So not all of them were on him. And then honorary game ball, we talked earlier. We were pressed for time. But the Steelers, they get Mike Williams from the Jets, and he has one catch for a touchdown as Jaden Daniels takes a tough luck loss to Russell Wilson of the Steelers up in D.C.
Game balls.
No doubt. Coming up, Brent Key's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Georgia potentially going to the playoff with two losses. It doesn't mean that they won't win the national championship. Some things have to go their way, Mike. You got to kind of get lucky in some instances, but it's all about matchups, and we'll see how all that shakes out. But Connor Riley's on the way at 4 o'clock. Hey, right now, though, on this Falcon Monday, more Falcons conversation coming up. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what's going on?
Well, I just got back from my hometown in New Jersey, and we had a really good time with the family and friends, and my cousin got married, so congrats to Brett and Wendy. I know they're not listening because they don't live in Atlanta, nor do they care about Atlanta sports teams necessarily, but I still said I'd give them a shout-out regardless.
All good.
I didn't realize, guys, that I had flight privilege. Because for the first time ever,
did you not fly Delta to New Jersey?
No, I didn't. I flew a different airline.
Is it a yellow airplane?
It kind of looks like Big Bird.
Oh,
that's all I'll say.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
So I had been flying Delta or United or whatever my entire life and never had any issues. I've even flown that airline before. And honestly, I've been pretty lucky. Never really had any issues. Now I know what y'all are talking about. Because my flight was supposed to take off at 2:20, and we were not in the air until after 4 o'clock.
Oh! Okay.
All of that time spent on the plane.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. They initially said, get up and feel free to go grab a drink and a snack. And then they said, you know what? We might actually leave sooner than expected, so y'all better just stay in your seats because you might miss the flight.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in Spirit's defense, wow, I don't think I've ever said that. was there some kind of like hold with air traffic and that's why the plane was...
Yes.
So that could happen to anybody.
So at Newark Airport where I landed, there was gate issues that we were not able to take off on time. Then when I got to Newark...
It's a cattle car with wings. It's Spirit Airlines.
We circled the airport for 28 minutes. Doing laps in the sky.
But again, in Spirit's defense, wow, second time I've said that. That could have simply have been obviously a traffic issue.
It was a heavy volume day. Right.
What time did you end up landing, and what time were you supposed to be there?
It was about a 2.5 hour
difference
gap. And I guess, like I said, I had flight privilege. I just never experienced that before in all my flights that I've taken.
I'll be honest with you, because we travel a lot. 2020 changed everything.
Yeah.
And since then, whether it's been the workforce, the lack of flights, period, across the board, right? Used to be like you could take 80 million flights, let's just say, to New York.
Right.
They cut back all the and it's been building back. Don't get me wrong. But it's not what it was. Now, people are flying more. So the volume of people flying coming out of the pandemic is back to where it was pre-pandemic.
Right.
The problem is, Mike, they don't have enough flights, and therefore they're overbooking, and then you're seeing delays and all the stuff that's going on. Listen, I think it was 2022, maybe 21. Mike and I were talking about taking a flight, and we were in this weirdness of if you took a night flight during that time period, you might not get to where you were going.
You literally had like a 50-50 shot after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it's been, and now again, it's getting better, but I'm just saying, like, I hope that we get to a point where it felt like it did once before, but. Every time I go to the airport now, I'm nervous. And that can be a domestic flight. It doesn't have to be international. It's just, this ain't going to be on time. What's going to happen? To your point. So you get there, and then you whatever festivities or activities you had going on, 2 hours later, right?
Oh, yeah. It was, forget it.
Yeah.
It was done.
Yeah.
And then just conveniently after, we sat in about, a good hour of Friday rush hour traffic.
Oh, by the way, as far as Spirit, do the passengers you were sitting next to, they have sleeves on their shirt?
Okay, come on, man. That was your experience.
Mike, you know what's funny? I'll tell you this. I think to Carl's point about how much stuff has changed, the couple sitting in front of me, the woman looked like she literally just walked out of the Gucci store.
Nice.
If I told you just look at the cabin and then tell me what we're flying, you would have never
known. Nice. There you go.
Things have evened out, let's say.
Do you get drinks on that flight?
I mean, I paid for them.
Okay. Yeah. Everything's a la carte.
Okay.
Yeah. Checking a bag, a la carte.
No, like a soda.
You bring in a bag.
Free soda?
No.
Napkins a la carte. Everything's a la carte.
Yeah. No, free.
There's bathroom tokens, Carl. You got to buy them.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
that's a joke.
There are no bathroom tokens.
I'm just asking. Like, if you have me on the plane for 2 hours and I've been there, it sucks. You can't get up, can't move. And
it's the Greyhound of the skies. It's Spirit Airlines.
I'll tell you what, though. They missed out on an opportunity to make a lot of money because they did not start serving anything until we took to the sky.
Mm.
So, yeah. Well, again, we were all just sitting there.
They have their rules.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as we said, air travel.
I think that is a rule, by the way.
But again, if you earned, like, if it's cheaper and you're cool with no frills, that's the thing. We're spoiled with Delta, with the hometown airline.
No doubt.
All right. They made their decision. He's not going anywhere. Caleb Williams will remain the starter in Chicago for the rest of the year. Matt Eberflus, I think that's a desperate ploy to hang on to his job, but that's not my question. Yeah, man, no man. Should they sit him? and let him breathe.
Sometimes you can catch a little more from watching from the sidelines, although, you know, from a prestige standpoint and a strike to your ego, maybe it's better to just let him fight through it. But again, you and I said this, you know, they never should have kept Eberflus. They should have brought in a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, an offensive-minded coach when they brought in their first round, first overall draft pick.
Who's the backup again?
Tyson Bagent.
Oh, yeah.
Got a little run.
That's right. Yeah. Last year?
Yeah.
I think you let Williams figure it out. Now, Bryce, I will say this. Bryce Young does look better after watching from the sideline for a couple of weeks.
I would agree with that. In this situation, though, I'd probably just roll with it. Listen, if you're Matt Eberflus, the changes you're making are minimal. These guys, Mike and I always say, you're only going to get – at that position, you got to play, man. Just got to play, and you got to ride this out. But they obviously have a bunch of other issues. And so the Bears, nobody picked them to win that division. It was always, you know, Green Bay or the Lions, and then the Vikings, depending on what you thought they were going to be. I think you just ride this out.
So one more before we get out of here. This is interesting. Micah Parsons is catching a little flack on social media. Mm. He was asked about Mike McCarthy and his job status. And the answer that he gave, I'll let you hear it, it was kind of flippant. And then he went on to talk about something which he believed is more important. I didn't really have a problem with this, but a lot of people on social media do.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. But guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
He's outspoken, Micah Parsons, but basically saying it. Coach could go pound sand, Carl, as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he made that not about McCarthy. He made that more about his teammates, and that's where his care and concern is.
And that's why I didn't have that much of a problem with it.
Me neither. That's where his connection is, and he's right. McCarthy's probably going to end, if he wants to, go somewhere else and be a head coach. And, you know, you leave these situations, but you leave the guys that are there that are still under contract and still – are trying to win a Super Bowl for the team that they love. That's an interesting comment, though. I'm kind of glad he said it that way, Mike, to be honest with you, because we usually would get, you know, oh, Mike, man, he deserves to be back and blah, blah, blah. Mike's going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, and Jerry won't fire a guy and not pay him to not work. We covered that last or 2 weeks ago when they played the Falcons. So
he's done it one time in season, and since then he's never done it again. He did that with Wade Phillips. And that's the last time he did it.
Right. And they're just, I mean, it goes without saying. Them and the Jets, it's a race to the bottom. Who's the biggest mess?
Yeah. He also just plainly, Mike is right. He doesn't deserve to be back. So that's really what it comes down to. When you look at it, he hasn't gotten the job done. But all right. Turtle, hit Chris's music.
Glad you're back safe. Hope the flight home wasn't like that.
Don't ask.
The flight home was like that?
Don't ask.
Wow. I mean, one way, you can deal with that.
Now, again, when I had my vocal cord surgery back in the day and I had to come up to Emory, I was staying out in Naples. You and Andy were holding down the fort back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I had to fly. I drove over from Naples to Fort Lauderdale and I flew up there just literally up and down in one day. So I didn't have to carry anything, literally nothing, just my phone because I'm going up and back. And I guess everyone would come off the cruise ship. That's why I was joking around about people not wearing shirts with sleeves.
Yeah.
People all have like those giant yards of beer bottle, you know, like those plastic, you know, tubes. Everybody was holding onto those because you really can't pack that with your luggage. The I'm with Stupid t-shirt. I ate the worm. I'm just saying, it was kind of like a genetic bullet base.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.